Oh, and Miss Lily's kindergarten Sunday school class, she was teaching about how everything in the world was created by God, including human beings. Little George was particularly interested in how Eve was created out of Adam's rib. Well, later in the week, the five-year-old's mother found him lying down as though he were ill. She said, "George, what's the matter?" To which little George replied, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." Well, in today's first reading, we have Adam and Eve and the story of the fall of our first parents, how they gave in to the temptations of Satan. And in fact, all the readings today perfectly fit together. The second reading from St. Paul to the Romans is all about how Jesus is the new Adam who came to redeem the world, to make up for the sin of the first Adam, who the first Adam wanted to become like God. He committed a sin of pride, a sin of disobedience. Jesus, on the other hand, was God, and he humbled himself to become a man. So you see the difference between Adam, who was a man who wanted to become like God and tried to do so by sin and disobedience. Jesus was God, but he humbled himself and became man to die for our sins. So we have the first Adam, which we hear about his fall, but then in the gospel we have the new Adam, Jesus Christ, resisting the testings of Satan. In fact, I think that second reading sums it up so beautifully. Through one man, sin entered the world. That, of course, is referring to Adam. And through sin, death. And death has come to all men. So the reason why we have physical death, why we have illness and disease in our world, is because of sin, the original sin of our first parents. But then, the good news, St. Paul tells us, that through this act of disobedience of one man, all were made sinners, but through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, all will be made righteous. So Jesus is the new Adam. So of course, you can't have a new Adam without having a new Eve. The new Eve is Mary. The first Eve, also, she sinned. She listened to Satan, and she disobeyed God. And Eve gave in to the temptations of Satan. And so Eve also had pride and disobedience. But the new Eve, Mary, had humility and obedience. Now the human race fell in Adam. The human race was redeemed in Christ. So we say that Eve participated in the downfall of the human race. Mary participated in the salvation of the human race. So we call Mary the helper, the co-redemptrix with Christ, as the church calls her. We could call Eve the co-messer-upper, because Eve messed up things. But it was in Adam that the human race fell, and it was in Christ that the human race was redeemed. Even though Eve played a part in the downfall, Mary played a part in the restoration. And what I think is very interesting when you compare the first reading from Genesis, which is how the devil tempted Eve and led Adam and Eve into sin, contrast that with the gospel, how the devil tried to tempt and test the Lord and how he responded. Take a look at that first reading from the book of Genesis chapter 2. It said that God planted a garden. And Bishop Sheen said, when you read the Bible, there are three main gardens you should remember: the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden of the Resurrection. And all three gardens played a part. The Garden of Eden is where paradise was lost. The Garden of Gethsemane was when Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. The Garden of the Resurrection, when Jesus conquered sin and death by rising from the dead. But in this Garden of Eden, God had planted many trees, the tree of life, but also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the serpent, the devil, comes along in the form of a serpent and says, He first approaches Eve and he tries to confuse her. He tries to manipulate her. He tries to make her doubt her faith in God and in God's promises and God's teaching. And the devil, notice what he says. Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? See, he's trying to make God look ridiculous. You know, God planted all these trees, and did God really tell you you can't eat from any of the trees? So again, he's trying to sow seeds of doubt and seeds of confusion. He's trying to undermine her faith. And isn't that what happens even in modern society? Sometimes the secular media tries to make the teachings of God or the teachings of the church look ridiculous. And yet, what is happening? They're trying to sow seeds of doubt, trying to have you doubt your faith, to doubt God, to doubt the commandments, to doubt the teachings of Christ or the church. And what does Eve do? Well, she does not reject Satan right away. She begins to dialogue with the devil. She begins to try to defend her faith and says, no, we're allowed to eat from the trees in the garden. See, human freedom is very broad, but there's only one tree that we're not allowed to eat from, the one in the middle of the garden. God told us not to do that. So Eve gets it right. Yes, human freedom is very broad, but there are limits. So as Christians, we have great freedom, but there's also limits. We have the Ten Commandments to follow, the teachings of Christ and the church to follow. And Eve said, no, we're not allowed to eat the fruit or even touch it, lest we die. What does the devil respond? You certainly will not die. Here we have the father of lies speaking, because the father of lies knows that if they do touch and eat that forbidden fruit, they maybe would experience death, spiritual death, as far as losing the grace of God within their soul, but they would also bring death into the world. They would then experience one day physical death, not only them, but all their descendants. And so the devil then says, the reason why God doesn't want you to eat the forbidden fruit is because you'll become like God. God doesn't want you to become like God, according to the devil. That way you'll be able to determine good and evil. You'll be able to make the rules for yourself. That's what God doesn't want, the devil says. And so what was the temptation? The temptation was to become like God, to be able to determine for yourself good, what is good and what is bad. And what happens next? Well, Eve gives in to the temptation. She begins to look at the fruit and becomes desirous and says it was good and pleasing to the eyes and desirable for gaining wisdom. See, the temptation was attractive. All temptations are attractive, otherwise it wouldn't be a temptation. And so she disobeys God. She wants to become like God. She wants to be able to determine for herself what is right and what is wrong for her. And she and Adam, after she eats the forbidden fruit, she gives it to Adam, and he also consents to this sinfulness, this act of pride and disobedience, wanting to become like God, and they commit what's called the original sin. And of course, when God talks about this to them, you know, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And as Zig Ziglar says, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Okay? So everybody wants to pass on the blame to somebody else. But what happens after they sin, it says they experience guilt and shame. And Bishop Sheen makes a good point. He says, before we sin, the devil appears to be our friend, and he tries to make God look like the bad guy, the enemy, trying to take away enjoyment and pleasure from life. But after we sin, Bishop Sheen says, the devil turns on us and becomes our accuser. But then God becomes our friend, and he offers us forgiveness, mercy, and reconciliation. So notice the stages of temptation. You have the attraction, the desire for an illicit, immoral pleasure, and then The devil tries to make us rationalize and doubt God's word, doubt God's truthfulness, God's teaching, God's promises. He tries to make God look like the bad guy, the enemy, saying, oh, God's just trying to keep you from this good thing. And the person begins to rationalize and begins to have their faith. They begin to doubt their faith. And because of that, it leads to disobedience, pride, and then sin. And then after that, they experience guilt and shame. But hopefully, through God's grace and God's mercy, when they remember their loving God, they repent, they go to confession, and are restored to the grace of God. So what we see in this first reading is how the devil step by step led our first parents into sin. And lastly, though, think of the gospel, of what did the Lord do when the devil tried to test him. And notice the Lord remained completely devoted to his heavenly Father. And every time the devil tried to tempt him with allurements of the world, the flesh, and the devil, with you having food, turning loaves into bread, or throwing himself off the temple, have the angels catch him, or worshiping the devil so that the devil would then give the Lord all this worldly power. Every time that the Lord is tested, he responds by quoting sacred scripture. He responds by repeating the word of God. And that's a great lesson for us as well, that we have to have a strong faith. We have to know our faith, know our Bible, know our catechism. The more we know our faith and are strong in our faith, and the more we can repeat sacred scripture, the better shield and weapons and defenses we'll have against the temptations of the devil. So when you're tempted, pray the Our Father. When you're tempted, pray the Hail Mary. These prayers are very scriptural. When you're tempted, quote sacred scripture. Use it as your shield, as your weapon. That's why the rosary is so powerful, to pray the rosary every day, because it's the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and this can be a great weapon and shield against the devil's temptations. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Don't become like Adam and Eve, who begin to rationalize and begin to lose their faith and have their faith undermined, but instead, be strong in your faith, know your scriptures, and go to scripture when you're tempted, and use it as a shield against the temptations of the evil one.